This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I kind of like Jarvis and Bunk.
I like Jarvis and Bunk, too.
That's
kind of cool. Do I need to go back in time and go jump on a Super Bowl team so I can say stupid stuff?
There's very little to be happy about this time of year in Seattle. It rains all the time. Yeah. The sun goes down at 4 o'clock, and all they play is Nirvana and Soundgarden on the radio.
It's the Dive On Football Podcast with Jarvis and Bunk.
You know what? That's not bad. Break! On the album was amazing
on ATLians
because like when you think about the when you talk about rappers and how they evolve, like a lot of times they don't. And when Andre 3000 talking about keeping his head clear, not smoking anymore, and in a time where pretty much everybody was I won't say they were the same, but everybody had a, you know, the whole drugs and rappers kind of go together, you know. And then when you start talking about things that are still relevant to this day, as far as how with women and relationships and, you know, the whole father and some baby taking care of their children type things, I just think that this dude was like really ahead of his time. So, I mean, that's why I say, even though the first album, the Southern Playlist is one of my favorites, I think ATLians for me was like a game changer.
Yeah, but my only not issue, because I love ATLians. Right. I think it's just so good.
Yeah,
and so different,
no doubt,
from what Southern Playlist was. But when I listen to it, and I listen to it really, really closely, especially compared to Southern Playlist and then compared to Aquemini, Big Boi was just so much better on Southern Playlist and Aquemini than he was on ATLians.
Yes.
Because I feel like Southern Playlist hit, they got so popular. They were having so much fame and success and like fun. And Andre changed so much from album one to album two. Like you can hear it lyrically. He's just so much better.
Oh, man.
And like you said, and part of the reason is he's clean. He's eating vegan food.
Yeah, right. He's like, kind of switching. He just switched the whole style.
And it just
up
sounded like he had taken that step, and Big Boi was kind of still Southern Playlist, kind of hanging out, all that stuff. But then it
Boom Boom Room, all that
right.
good stuff.
And there's nothing wrong with any of that.
No, not at all.
It's just when you listen to it really closely, like Andre was so much better than Big Boi on ATLians, but then Aquemini came out, and they were both amazing. It was like Big Boi listened to ATLians, it's like, damn,
Exactly.
I could keep coasting and we'll be good.
Yeah.
But not to say that he was coasting. His coasting is still one of the greatest on ATLians.
Yeah.
But just to me, Andre had stepped his game up so much from album one to album two that from album two to album three, Big Boi caught up and even in some ways surpassed him. There's a couple verses on Aquemini where Big Boi is just like,
Hold on.
Like on on Spodiote, Dopalicious, like his verse on that is crazy. I know Bombs Over Baghdad is off Stankonia, but Big Boi's verse on that is like his best verse ever. Andre's verse on Aquemini, on the song Aquemini, and the second part after they come back is like my favorite rap verse of all time.
Yeah,
my mind warps and bends, all that. Oh, so good.
And the thing about it is like we got so used to 3000 kind of dropping the lyrics and being so on point, it's kind of like, all right, when Big Boi finally stepped his game up, it was like, oh, he might be better. But it was just like Dre had got to such a higher level when it came to those lyrics. It was just, it was almost refreshing when Big Boy dropped those, you know, those bars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, so, oh, wow.
Like, oh, okay. All right. So you kind of are on the same level.
Yeah,
but,
no doubt.
You know, but when you got a guy that's so consistent in 3000, it's kind of hard for me to kind of put Big Boy up there lyrically with him, because Dre did it time and time again.
The reason this conversation is happening, by the way, is because Big Boy's album coming out tomorrow, Boomiverse, which I'm excited to listen to.
Are you gonna purchase it?
Can I get it on Spotify? I haven't bought an album in
years. You purchased Spotify so you can listen to the stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody buys albums anymore anyway. Yeah.
I mean, so. I feel bad. Like, does that mean I'm not supporting an artist that I believe in? Maybe that's what that means. Like, if I need to buy it to fully support the guy, then I will buy it. But if I can find it somewhere and the ad revenue generated by me listening to it on a streaming service is enough for him to whatever,
yeah.
Like, then I can justify it that way. I definitely want to listen to it. I'm excited to listen to it. My expectations aren't super high.
That's what they shouldn't be.
Yeah. It's just, you know, there's just, I don't know. It's hard to live up to the standard that was set years and years ago, and that's never going to happen. I respect Big Boy for still coming out with albums. Like, it's awesome that he's collaborating with folks, still trying to sort of push himself and make new music and interesting music and all that stuff. But I really do think when it's all said and done, whether it was a strategy or it's just what Andre 3000 has done, the fact that he just almost never releases anything and he'll give us like two or three features a year.
Yeah.
Has even furthered his
the lore,
yeah, exactly.
Of Andre 3000.
The myth, exactly. Like, the legend is even
legend
greater
is
than
Andre
3000. Because he'll hit us with like the craziest feature two or three times a year, and it's like, oh,
he did a song with who?
Like, that song is so good,
yeah,
great. Oh man, I wish he would do more.
Yeah,
and then he doesn't, and then he'll pop back up and be on a Frank Ocean album, and then go away, and then pop back up and he's on a Kid Cudi album, and then go away. And then he pops up and he's on that Erykah Badu mixtape, and that's like the best verse of 2015.
Oh, wow.
And then goes away.
I love Erykah Badu.
Me too.
Yeah.
Especially careful,
the, you know, like her. Well, yeah, Erykah Badu is nice.
Yes.
That is good.
I'm with you.
Yes.
I'm just saying, be
careful.
She's
done a lot of very different stuff.
You'll fall in love in 5 seconds.
Yeah, apparently. And I have been naming my child 15 or something like that. Because I can't name 7. That's already taken.
You're 14. Twice as good.
You know, and I'm not the smallest dude, so yeah, I have to double that. You know, 15 or 30. But yeah, it's the Doggone Football Podcast, by the way. I'm Jarvis Davis.
I'm Andy Bunker.
Yes, we're talking about our favorite artists of all time, Outkast. Like I said earlier, Big Boy is coming out with an album. You know, I don't know if I even take the time out to even go listen to it, because like I said, it's hard for me. It's hard for me to do that, because it's like, I'm going to be listening for Outkast.
Yeah.
You know, I can't separate the two. And I think that's why, a lot of reason why Andre 3000 is not looked at as a top five guy, or a lot of people don't like to put him in that conversation because he was part of a group, which is like bullcorn to me. I like feel like that's very lazy if you do that, but it's just hard for me to kind of go back there and kind of, because it brings me, because I know what I'm looking for when I hear Big Boy or Andre 3000 in a song or an album. If he, because it's like, it's just not the same. It's not the same.
It's not the same. And it's when rappers get older, there's just something about that youthful energy that makes it exist, right? Like,
right.
That makes it great. And as they get older, I mean, there's just, I can't really think of very many rappers that have been great in their 40s, if any. Like, I know Jay-Z has made music, but look, it's not the same.
Like, when was the last time he put out something?
Right. Yeah. I'm still going to listen to it. I'm excited about it. But
okay,
like,
I mean, that's fair. I'm not going to knock it.
Well, the Organized Noize put out a mixtape last month, and I listened to it, and it's just kind of the same thing. It's like, man, dang.
What happened?
It sounds like some old guys.
It's not the same.
Making a rap song. And it, like, I hate to say that, because I love those guys, and I love their music, and I'm happy that they're still making music and giving us something to listen to. I think that's really cool, but you're right. It's not the same.
It's not the same.
And that's okay.
And it's okay. And it's fine. It's okay. Another thing that's fine and that's okay is guys' training camp mandatory training camp this week. The Atlanta Falcons got out on the field. Dan Quinn, and I think the big thing on early on this week was Dante Poe weighing in. Dude, if I got paid $125,000, like if I'm 10 pounds less than what I'm supposed to be, do I get like an extra 10% bonus on that or something like that?
No, you just got to be under it.
Yeah, okay, yeah, because that's where I would be. I would be like way under. I wouldn't be nowhere near where they would want me to be.
So he had to be down to what?
Under. I think he had to be down to 330.
330?
Yes.
Because I know that's the target goal eventually.
Yeah.
So he had to get down there and then he has to stay down there?
I'm sorry. I think it was 340. I think 330 is once they come back in for camp.
That's where they want him to be when the season starts, at 340. Yeah. Right. And he's got four different weigh-ins. Each time, if he hits his goal, he gets $125,000.
Nice.
So I ask you, because you're the only one that works at this radio station that you can legitimately ask this question to. If I could give you $125,000 for you to be down to 340 by the time the football season starts, could you?
Wow. Being that, you know what, man? Can I, like, vent for a little while? You know?
Was that a mean question to ask?
No, it's not at all. Not at all. Like, I like talking about this stuff because I've been working out for the past 2 weeks. And last week, I didn't want to weigh myself because every time I weigh myself the first week I started working out, it's kind of, like, a little weird. I was like, man, I got a long way to go. So I waited a whole week and a half. So I go to the thing to weigh myself, and I couldn't weigh myself.
Why?
Because it was over 400 pounds. I was like, wow, I'm over 400 pounds, dude. Like, I don't know how far, but, you know, I'm at the point now where I was like, it's cool, it's whatever. I'm just trying to get down. So to answer your question, I don't know. But if I'm like right at 400 or a little 405 or somewhere around that way, I can think I'll probably do it.
Yeah.
I think I'll probably pull it off.
I think you could too.
Yeah.
And again, like I don't want to make this seem like a making fun sort of thing. Obviously.
No. We just talk.
You carry 400 pounds. Well, unlike many people could.
Right. That's
there's
why
not a lot of people that work at this radio station. If I weighed 400 pounds, you would know.
Yeah.
Right?
Like yeah,
when you just told me that, that surprises me.
Yeah.
Because you're just, I don't know, you're a big guy. I don't know how much Jarvis weighs. How the hell could I possibly know?
Right.
You're 6'6" and you look like a football player. Like, I don't know. I don't know how much he weighs. A lot. But, well, I mean, I think that's a good goal then. I mean, whatever the number is, I think that. You can do it.
If it's $125,000 online.
There's a gym in this building?
Dude. Oh, yeah. I've been using it.
You're a competitive guy.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
You know how to do it.
Yeah, I can get down, man. That's the thing. And I think it's just starting for me. And as far as it's all about getting in a rhythm of doing things. Because, you know, being an athlete, it's all about repetition with me. You know, if I get it, if I start doing it, once I start doing it and start getting used to doing it, it's going to be no problem for me. It's just, you know, those late nights sometimes.
Right.
You know.
Well, you just get into a rhythm.
On my way home. You know, I'm hungry. I know the wife don't cook something. But you know, hey, let me stop at McDonald's and give me a double cheeseburger or something with no cheese, add mayo. You know, see how I did that? That's like.
Sounds like maybe you've done that before.
Yes, it's like it was repetition.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I've done it several times, so it's so cool. It's cool for me. But, you know, right now. But yeah, like as far as Dontari Pope goes, like it is like once you get to it's kind of easy to get into the whole weight loss thing. Like once you get started, like especially with me, because like when you got a lot of excess weight, like it could probably be hard for you to lose 10 pounds than it is for me to lose 30 pounds because you know just a lot of excess
just
stuff.
Percentage of what
percentage
of what you weigh.
Yeah, percentage of what you weigh and just all of the and then the fat and all that good stuff. You know, it starts coming off pretty quickly once you get going. And if you just change the way you eat, that's a lot of time.
That's a good part of it.
Yeah, and that's more important than working out too. And that's the thing I have to, you know, bang my head against the wall about. So you know. It's a process.
I'll keep asking me for healthy snacks.
But yeah, you know me. I'm always gonna come. I'm always gonna ask. Now you know,
I got a bag full of foo-foo food, as you call it.
I love it. I'm gonna have to marry that stuff if I can get down. Just have to get down to 340 by July 27th or something. I think that's when the Falcons report.
Yeah. We'll give you till September.
Like yeah,
you,
September.
You got the whole
yeah.
summer.
Yeah, yeah. I think I can get down 340 in September.
You just go on a walk in Atlanta in August, and you're going to lose 10 pounds.
Yes, I heard so you lost some weight today walking in here.
Damn. I was just sitting there waiting for the Uber to come get me, and I started losing weight and sweating. It's so hot out there.
Yeah.
Summer has officially begun.
Yes.
And like you said, mini camp is underway as well. I'll say this to Falcons fans. Get your Falcons fix in this week because it's going to be a long month and a half until they get back out there and start practicing again.
Yes, it is.
until training camp gets underway, there's not going to be a lot to talk about, not going to be a lot of storylines, not going to be a lot of access to these guys.
Yes.
So get your Falcons fixed this week because it's about to be the dog days of summer as soon as training camp is over on Thursday afternoon.
The dog days of summer on the Doggone Football Podcast.
But that's why the Doggone Football Podcast is here for you.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere.
All right, so we can keep this football conversation going all summer long. There's a couple different things weight-wise with the Falcons that were interesting. Obviously, D'Antari Poe losing the weight, meeting his goal, getting his $125,000 is good news. We've talked about why it's necessary for him to get down to 330 so he can play faster and he could be that versatile three-down guy that they want him to be.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Tevin Coleman?
No, I didn't get a chance to check Tevin Coleman.
So if D'Antari Poe lost 10 pounds, he gave it to Tevin Coleman, but not in a bad way.
Right.
Tevin Coleman has put on 10 to 15 pounds of muscle somehow.
He has the frame for it, though. He's 6 feet.
Yeah.
You know?
He looks very much like a power back, like you would want him to be if Devontae Freeman is going to be that speed back, which obviously he is. And Devontae Freeman's dropped a couple pounds as well. So I'm very interested to see why Tevin Coleman has added that extra weight.
I have a theory.
Because I think that gives you a little bit of versatility with your two running back system.
I have a theory. I think it's the whole yin and yang.
Yeah.
Because you want to be able to give something. I think in order for you to bring value, add more value than what you already have, it is if I can add 10 pounds of muscle and be that goal line situation type guy, which I think the Falcons want to kind of move towards because, you know, somebody getting double-digit touchdown wouldn't be good for negotiations once contract negotiation come around. So
you got a couple guys that are going to want contracts.
So you got a couple guys that are going to want contracts, and you also the running back that they drafted. His name escapes me right now.
Ryan Hill.
Yes, good pull. And he's a big guy, kind of a one cut and go type guy, which is a perfect fit for this system. So I think being able to take a little bit more of a hit, you know, and being able to run between tackles a little bit more than what he actually was called on to do, because it seemed like Devontae Freeman got a brunt of those carries last year. Because I mean, what Devontae Freeman does with his size and build is like amazing to me. Because you think that Tevin Coleman would get those play calls versus him getting those play calls, but I think Tevin is going to add that weight. Adding that weight is going to be able to make it more valuable, if
definitely.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Well, I just think it makes that running back tandem more valuable because it makes them so different. Because
right.
they were so similar their first couple years, right? I mean, similar sizes, similar attributes. Maybe Tevin Coleman had slightly better hands. Maybe Devontae Freeman was slightly better running between the tackles.
The quickness is, it's
right.
amazing, man.
Right. Yeah. So, but in general, I mean, they were running backs that you would classify as...
You put them in the same,
category.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't do you as much good when you're trying to split those carries when you have different types of situations, right?
Yes.
But now, if you have that bigger back, you can use him in different situations that you couldn't use Devontae in. I think it's going to be more, and maybe this is not as helpful because it doesn't keep the defense on their toes as much unless you put them both in there at the same time, but it's going to be more situational and more obvious. Okay, third and an inch. We need to give it to Tevin so he can power his way through there. All right, second and six, we'll hand it to Devontae and see what he can do. First and 10, we'll hand it to Devontae and see what he can do. I'm very excited to see both of these guys this year because, especially Devontae Freeman in a contract year, but to hear the running backs coach a couple weeks ago say, they're good, not great. We need to get them to the point where they're great. I'm really excited to see what that process of, because they're already pretty damn good to me.
Yeah,
that process from good to great is going to be fun to watch.
And I think one of the things, for Devontae, just one of the things that stands out for me is for him to make that transition from good to great is not stay away from the minus yards. And I think that that was one of the thing, the big things that that kind of needled Kyle Shanahan last year or in the Super Bowl. Like just to use the Super Bowl, for example, when he was taken out of the game because he was trying to do too much. Like if you if it's plus one, take the plus one. I'd rather take plus one than minus three or minus five and be in behind the sticks on second down. Because that's not what I give you the ball for on first down. I give you the ball because I want 3 to 4 yards and I want to be able to, you know, get on the plus side of the sticks than being behind the eight ball. Because the play calling is so, like, second and 15 is so much different than second and six. So I think that's one of the things that is going to help Devontae get to that next level. And just by previously what we talked about with Tevin is adding that weight, being a little bit more versatile, being a guy who can come in on the goal line and get in that end zone if we're trying to power it straight down. So I think I like that. I like coaches challenging players. Like, that's what you want. And it's I mean, let's face it. This is nothing new. Like, Dan Quinn challenges his guys all the time. So it's not surprising for me to hear a coach speaking like that. And also, too, Sarkisian, I think we're going to see with him – is putting those guys on the field at the same time. I think that you're going to see a lot more than you saw in the previous year.
Well, I think you'll have to. Now that they're going to be a little bit different, in order to use them most correctly and keep the defense on their toes, you have to put them in there at the same time because it'll be more obvious what you're going to try to do if there's only one of those guys in there. Oh, Devontae's in there. Okay. They use him in these situations. Okay, Tevin Coleman's in there. They use him in these situations. The defense would be able to key in a little bit more if only one of them is in there. You put both of them in there. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Yeah.
How are we going to handle this?
Taylor Gabriel motioning in the backfield, crossing the formation. Like, there's so, like what I say, and I think Sark is the best kind of guy to have in this particular situation, just purely based off of him being the play caller for one of the best offenses in college football history. I mean, you can make an argument for in USC having all of those weapons and being having to use those guys. It's refreshing. Yeah, I think this is a good situation for him.
You think Coleman could be used as a blocker a little bit now too, now that he's put on that weight, if they're in there at the same time? Not like a fullback. I'm not saying because Derek Coleman's going to come in and compete for fullback, but yeah, a couple extra
pounds.
I think
if he has to block, I'm sure that he would do it. I'm sure he wouldn't have a problem doing it because at the end of the day, Devontae, he'll get in there and mix it up if he has to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if he's called upon, yeah, I'm sure he'll do it.
What's your favorite down and distance? It's kind of a random question.
Oh, third and long.
Third and long?
Yes.
How come?
Because I love knowing that more than likely it's going to be a pass.
Because you're a pass rusher. That's why.
No, look. That's why. Here's the thing. Like, I used to come out a lot on third downs, and I used to hate that. I used to hate when my coach did that. So a lot of times, like – So third and six.
That's a very defensive player answer.
You know what I mean?
Like, I didn't think about that.
I would love that because I know I can get in my stance. I get in my stance like, hey, yeah, I know I'm about to get ready to work on my pass. I'm about to do my go-to move, my pass rush move. But on second and 10, it's kind of like, all right, oh, which way are we going to go? So I kind of got to – because at the end of the day, I have to take on a double team. I eat up two blocks and defend the run. Now, that's my first two priorities. But when third and long, all that goes out the window. Hey, he's about to drop back the pass, so let me try to do something to get there.
I was thinking about it from the complete other side of things. I was thinking about it from an offensive play caller standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, having never been on the field before, that's the only thing that I could even close to relate to. Second and one is my favorite down and distance because literally anything is possible.
Yeah.
Any play call is a good play call at that point. Yeah. The entire playbook is open. You just handed it to Devontae Freeman on first and 10. He got you 9.5 yards. It's second and a half, and you can do anything you want, especially if you're right around the 50-yard line.
Mm.
Open up. You've got a trick play.
Yeah.
You could power it if you want to.
Play
you
action
could go
up
deep
top.
If you want to. Play action, whatever you want to do. If I'm a play caller, I don't think I would be a good play caller in the NFL at all. But
why is that?
Because I'm an idiot. I would be running play action fades for Julio Jones every single play.
I think a lot of people would be doing that.
I would throw the ball to Julio Jones 45 times a game. That's all I would do.
Yeah, I mean, but shoot, at the end of the day, like, you almost kind of have to have that mentality when it comes to giving guys like that the ball, because guys, defensive coordinators scheme so much to the point where you almost have to put him in the slot, or you also have to motion him through across the formation to kind of get a different matchup and kind of throw him off guard. Because if you just line him up out of the X position on the strong side, I mean, shoot, you basically are playing into the defense coordinator's hands.
It would just be really hard for me to make the right call all the time in terms of, like, the conservative call.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it's third and three. I probably should run the ball here. But, man, wouldn't it be fun if I ran a play action double reverse and tried to throw it with Mohamed Sanu all the way down the field to Julio Jones?
Yeah.
Wouldn't a flea flicker be a great play here? Wouldn't a Statue of Liberty be a really fun? Like, it would be too tempting for me to try to run trick plays because, again, because I'm an idiot. That's why I would be a bad play caller. I would my offense would have 8 turnovers a game if I was a play caller in the NFL.
And that's the thing, though, because I think people kind of have to put that in perspective, like you just did. Like, it is hard calling plays.
Very hard.
Like, I mean, even with, you know, the experience that I have playing ball or whatever, I'm still the most, you know what's the most scariest job position I've ever thought about wanting to have?
Coordinator?
Yes, defensive coordinator. Because at the end of the day, I know coverages. I know how to deal with D linemen. I would, you know, coaching D linemen. That's one of my list. That's on my checkoff list. You know, I want to be able to do that. But
bucket list.
Bucket list. Yes. Thank you. I don't know why I lost that word. But anyway, that's definitely on my bucket list. But being a defensive coordinator and calling plays. Dude, especially the way the offenses are set up now.
So fast.
Oh, they're so fast. They're using the play clock. They're not even using play clock anymore.
No huddle all the time.
It's no huddle. Guys are coming out, lining up on the line of scrimmage, calling plays. Basically, looking at, okay, you're in this. Okay, here's the play. But, you know, it's like it's almost like cheating. Like, it's so hard to call defense nowadays. It's just... That's why I hate when people kind of like throw coordinators under the bus. Like, this is not something that is easy. People think it's like so easy to call plays, even from an offensive standpoint, you know, like, because defense is complicated as well. Like, you have so many moving parts. Guys, it's at some point, I know Rex Ryan would call it amoeba defense, where nobody's in a stance, everybody's just lurking around the line of scrimmage. And as a quarterback, how do you like, okay, such and such is the mic.
I think right. I think 50 is the mic. I have no
this
idea.
This guy's the mic, so here's what we're gonna be looking for on this side. You know,
I just
this
check
guy
into a
standing
run.
Right here, is
I
he
just
gonna
check
blitz?
Into a run.
You know what I mean? Like, so all of this stuff is going on before the play, and people just have the nerve to say it up and sit up here and say, well, he sucks as a play caller.
Do you know why people have...
It takes a lot to do that.
Do you know why people have the false confidence to say that people are bad play callers? You know why that is, right?
No, help me out.
Video games. It's because people have Madden at home.
Yes.
And they call plays on Madden.
Good call.
And so they themselves think that if they were in that situation...
No.
He called that play in that situation? Oh, man.
If I was, you know, just because you beat Little Johnny
cool story,
online.
Cool Jimmy from Kennesaw. Cool story.
Just because you play Little Jimmy online and you won $20 or $40 here betting online, playing Madden, doesn't mean you can call plays in real life.
Although, I do think that coaches should play Madden just for clock purposes.
Yes.
Because there's so many coaches in the NFL and in college football that have no clue how to divvy up their timeouts, how to call plays at the end of halves and at the end of games to use the clock most efficiently. Like, somebody needs to buy Andy Reid Madden for Christmas next year, so he could figure out how to run a 2-minute drill. Because, I mean, he's got teams.
I think the city of Philadelphia
right.
is behind you.
He's got teams that very well could have won Super Bowls if he knew how to handle end-of-game situations. Like, if you're a head coach and you're famously bad at not knowing how to handle end-of-game situations, and maybe it's just a nerves thing. Like, you get into a moment and you just sort of choke. But That seems like something that you could practice. Seems like something that you could anticipate and get better at.
I mean, you have situations in practice. You practice different situations. Okay, here's what we're going to do. This is third and seven. We have one timeout left. We're on the 40-yard line going in. We're down by two. You know, what are we going to do? You know, and you set it up like that. So, but like I said, it's different when, you know, the real bullets are flying, as they like to say. Nerves comes into play, and it's hard. It's kind of hard to fathom Andy Reid getting nervous because he's been playing for, I mean, he's been a coach for so long, and let's face it, despite clock management, he's been a successful head coach.
He's a great coach.
He's a great coach. He is. Let's give him that. I definitely give him that. Big Red, as Hugh Douglas like to refer to him as. But when you get in those, it's kind of hard to replicate that in practice. Because, you know, we're talking about practice. It's just hard to replicate that real game situation, you know, during the week, because you know it's not a real game situation and it's during the week.
You had a thought about these mini camps and these OTAs and all these guys that are out there, especially young guys with non-guaranteed money. I think that Devontae Freeman is probably the best example.
Best scenario, right?
Of something terrible that could happen. And ideally, we're not hoping this happens. We're not trying to jinx Devontae Freeman. But it's just it's a very scary situation when you're a player like him, who's a Pro Bowler, one of the best at his position in the NFL.
Back-to-back Pro Bowls. Yeah.
Back-to-back Pro Bowls in a contract year. And yet, you want to be a good teammate. You want to be a good employee. You want to show up to these mini camps and practice and play and all that sort of stuff. But if he gets hurt, the team doesn't owe him anything. There's nothing guaranteed. In the fourth year of your rookie contract, even though he's outperformed it multiple times, if something bad happens to him before he gets that next contract and anything is guaranteed in ink, nothing is coming his way. I think that's one of the things that the NFL Players Association has to address in the next collective bargaining agreement is summer camp, OTA, mini camp, training camp injuries. How can they get a percentage of their salary?
Right. I think that's kind of where I was coming from. I was thinking about, like, everybody talking about how can we make this feasible for the players to show up? Because at the end of the day, what is the benefit of you showing up for basic training? And what I mean by basic training is, I'm a 3 or 4 year vet. I'm a 4 year vet. I know the system. I know the offense. I know what we're going to be working on. Only thing outside of rookies, there's no reason for guys to be there. So I think there needs to be some type of incentive to get these guys to come there. And just in case they do get hurt and they're in the middle of a contract or they're in their contract year, last year their deal, they don't really have any guaranteed money. I think there needs to be a certain percentage that will be added on for you showing up. So say, for instance, like we said, Devontae Freeman as an example. So his contract, his salary this year is $1.8 million, right? So if he goes out and gets hurt today, and let's say the Atlanta Falcons, he worked it out in his deal, he gets a 30% of that $1.8 million, or he gets 100% of it. You know, you're able to negotiate that into your contract, and I think that needs to be something that is going to be able to be negotiated going forward. Because, like, when you have these guys out here taking this risk for being out there, you know, now granted they can get hurt doing anything else, but if you get hurt doing team activities, I think that percentage of their salary for that year needs to be guaranteed.
And the kicker, I think the thing that's going to make that possible is if the players union and the NFL can come to an agreement that percentage, if Devontae Freeman gets hurt and doesn't play this year, because if Devontae Freeman gets hurt and isn't going to play and they just flat cut him, that money is gone from the cap. Like that doesn't go against your cap. if they're able to give him a percentage, I think the agreement would have to be that that percentage doesn't count against the cap either. So the team is able to have a little bit more flexibility financially.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah. So they're able to that might be able to make them more interested in doing it. Although I don't know how excited teams would be to just pay guys money that's not going to count against anything. It's just going to be money that they're giving out to an injured player. But I think that they, at the very least, have an obligation to pay a guy some of his money if he gets hurt at an optional team activity. Because you're right. What's Devontae Freeman gaining from being there these last couple weeks and exercising with the team? He can do that with
his trainer.
He's
getting brotherhood points.
Right. But I do think that part of it does matter.
Yeah, it does.
And if you believe in camaraderie,
on the surface,
well, but even still, like for the rookies, like Brian Hill, the kid that they drafted, it's more beneficial for him to be around Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman for as much time as possible than waiting until training camp and then being around them. Like the more, and I know people will always balk at this because it's a soft take, but I don't care. Like the more comfortable people feel in their working environment and the more they want to be around their coworkers, the better the working environment is going
to
be.
Indeed.
Like the more willing you're going to be to put in that extra work, the more willing you're going to be to go that extra mile. And everyone says they're professional athletes getting paid lots of money. They should do all that anyway. Yes, they should. But we know for a fact that they don't always do that. Like one of the reasons that it's worked so well with Dan Quinn thus far is he's fostered this environment where people enjoy being around it. And I do think that that matters. But you also can't just hold that over someone's head and make them want to be a part of an optional team activity. That's what I call OTAs. Because they're not getting anything in return if they end up getting hurt. There's got to be some protection.
Yeah, of course. And that's the thing with the NFL. Like I said, I think the NFL, the Goliath, I like to refer to them as, I think they have so much power. It is amazing to me, like, how weak the players' union is for the NFL. Like, because these are some of the things that they need to be fighting for and not being concerned about not getting paid, you know, when they're trying to fight for these type of things. And I think this is DeMaurice Smith's job. Like, I think we need to go try to get his job. How much does he get paid?
A lot.
I know he doesn't get paid as much as Roger Goodell. Well, I know he doesn't get paid as much as Roger Goodell, but I think that these are some of the things that he needs to start thinking about. And I think it's going to be the players that are going to have to put his feet to the fire to start getting some of these things, because this just makes sense. It's just common sense. Okay, if I'm a last year of my deal and I'm trying to negotiate a new contract, I get hurt more and I'm out for the year, or I can't play anymore. You mean tell me I can't get a half of what you were going to give me, or that's not going to count against that team salary cap for that year? You mean there's to tell me I can't have that petty cash? Because that's essentially what it's going to be. Like 30 or 40% of $1.8 million, that's nothing
for the team.
That's nothing for the team. So these are the things that I think once they kind of rally around each other and start thinking about it, I think that's going to be one of the things that kind of help these guys get to the point where they need to be, and that's some comfort or some stability when it comes to being and playing this sport.
We want to get to the doggone takes of the week, because I know your doggone take is a topic that we wanted to discuss. It was the NFL Network and their mandate with their employees.
Like, so, I mean, like the NFL Network is putting out this mandate, and I find it interesting that the vice president of social media and emerging programming, guess what the name is?
It's ridiculous.
I know you know, but I can't
believe this is his name.
Yeah, Tom Brady basically said, quote, when in doubt, keep it to the game. Like, I don't understand. Like, and want their talent to basically stick to sports. Like, don't you know that's like cussing out, you know, that's like cussing out a human being, because human beings participate in other activities outside of their job. And social media is my social media, meaning that social media, you talk about things that's going on with you, and more than likely more things are going on than just football. For you to tell your talent or the people that you pay, hey, you're only supposed to talk about sports, Because that's just the only thing that's going on with you in your life. I think that's got to be the dumbest thing you can come out and say in today's world, when social media is like a part of everybody's lives.
Yeah, I think it's very soft. I think it's a very sort of scared way of behaving. But I also think that it's a reaction to this theory that some of the issues that ESPN is having is because they've become so politically charged or liberals, or whatever it is. Right. The talent is willing to talk about certain topics. The network is willing to cover certain topics. And the reality of the situation is the reason this is happening is because so many more athletes are becoming so much more vocal about what's happening in our country.
They're becoming woke.
Right. They are. And they have opinions and they're willing to give those opinions. Whereas in the past, we haven't seen as much of that. Like, They're basically covering what athletes are saying, I think, in a lot of ways. But in other ways, a lot of the talent are freely offering their opinions on what's happening as well. And I think that there is this thought that part of what's harming ESPN is that they become over-politicized. That's not what's harming ESPN.
No, not at all.
It's cord-cutting millennials that are harming ESPN, and they need to figure out a new way to reach that generation of people.
And don't overpay for programming. How about that?
Exactly. They went way overboard on paying for contracts to have live broadcasts on their network, and they're not able to monetize it the way that they thought they were going to be able to. That's why they had to fire people.
Indeed.
It's not because Jemele Hill and Michael Smith are doing a show that you're uncomfortable with. It's because they paid too much money for the NBA contract and for college football contracts, and they're not able to make that money back as well as they thought they were going to be able to.
Yes.
They're going to have to figure that out down the road. The NFL, though, this is coming from the top of the mountain. This is not Tom Brady at the NFL Network.
Yeah, this
Tom
is probably
Brady is
Roger
told
Goodell,
by somebody else, owners, who's told by somebody else, who's told by Roger Goodell, who's told by owners to tell Rich Eisen and Daniel Jeremiah and the rest of these guys that work for NFL Network to stop speaking in political conversations because it makes half the NFL fan base uncomfortable.
Quote, talent needs to be careful with that level of engagement. You know, be smart and sensitive to if you're getting trolled or not. Then just stop. Our talent, as the known quantity in this exchange, does not benefit by dressing down a fan, even if that fan is way off base. At some point, they have to know when to say that this is taking a turn and I'm not taking part anymore.
Well, you know what?
What the hell?
I actually agree with that. In some ways, I actually agree with that.
I mean, but that's common sense, though, right?
It is.
I mean, come
it
on.
Is.
If stick to sports and when in doubt, keep it to the game. That's dumb.
There was that saying that our grandparents would tell us back in the day is if you're arguing with a fool from far enough away, it's hard to tell the difference between the two. Like, if you're engaging with someone who's an idiot,
can't reason with ignorance.
It's very easy to very quickly be brought down to the level of an idiot.
Are you going to be?
Yeah. And there's nothing to be gained from that.
Yes.
Unfortunately, as persuasive as you may be, you might have gotten an A+ in your college rhetorical debate class.
Yes.
You're not going to convince that egg on Twitter that
now it's a ghost looking it's a head symbol
the ghost
now.
Of whatever it is, you're not convincing that guy of your point. There is no middle ground in
the guy who has 20 followers.
Right, that's not happening. And the reason that guy engaged you was so you would do what you're doing. I actually agree with that. I think that a lot of people on Twitter need to realize they're wasting their time and their energy getting fired up about what some random person thinks in the middle of nowhere.
This quote right here, the reason why I read it the way I did is because it should be in the front. That should be the headline.
Right. That's what they should be saying.
Be smart.
Stop getting in Twitter fights with idiots.
Exactly. Now, instead of stick to sports.
Right.
Come on, man.
Say whatever you want.
Exactly.
Especially if your opinion is backed up by some sort of fact or some sort of reasonable belief.
Indeed.
Reasonable belief.
Yes.
But I mean, if you're out there just saying nonsense, I can understand them getting
like
upset
Skip
with
Bayless.
You. Right. Yeah. But that's, I don't know. Social media is such an interesting, it's such an interesting time in sports and in media in this country because so many people don't know how to use it. It's a
Our
tool.
Our president uses it for press releases.
That's a great example.
Yeah, 45.
Like it's so interesting where like we have not yet decided how seriously to take Twitter, right? Because a lot of people still are like, meh, I don't care. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
And then there's a recruit that loses his scholarship because he tweeted a thing about Georgia, and there's a president that is starting all kinds of policy and controversy because of the things that he tweets, to the point where his press secretary had to say, yeah, take those as official statements. Like, they started it out. Well, they started the whole thing by saying, yeah, no, those, you know.
Wait a minute. Hold up now. You have to judge what he's saying. Juices are starting to flow here.
You I don't care.
Can't let the liberal juices flow.
I don't have to stick to sports. I haven't been yelled at.
We're
by
neutral
my,
here.
Yeah, I'm not. I haven't been yelled at. I haven't been yelled at by my bosses yet.
I'm neither.
Is there neither category? Yeah, yes, you are.
No, I'm neither. I'm neither. Because okay. neither side has served me as a African-American male.
That's fair.
35 years old. Hey. They have never. Neither hey. One has done anything for me. Sorry.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So. Are you going to the White House if you win the, if you win the Super Bowl?
Hell no. Hell no. I ain't going to no damn White House. I wish I would go to the White House. No, I will not go. Jarvis is not going. I've got my ring. I've got my team concept. I'm good. I'm good on going to the White House. Thank you for asking me that, by the way. I'm surprised. If anybody had any worries as to where I would, or it was any doubts as to where I would go, whether I would go or not, there you go. No, I'm not going.
So when we win Podcast of the Year and they want to give us our press opportunity at the White House, you're declining the invitation?
Hell yeah.
Well, I guess
I will
I'll
not be there.
I'll have to go on behalf of the Dog Football Podcast.
You have to represent
podcast.
For the DG, man.
Because that's my DDT is the article that was written late last night, early this morning. And I forget the woman who wrote the article. Advocating
her name is DDT. Yes.
I think she was. I respect the point that she was trying to make. I just don't think that it's realistic. And her point was, and the reason that I think that it's the DDT for me this week, is if you're forgoing your opportunity to go to the White House, you're forgoing your moment to try to have a dialogue with the president. And I respect the thought, and I think that the other 44 presidents before, that would be a reasonable thing to say. Maybe if you had their ear for a minute, you could say something that would resonate and be impactful. I think it's pretty fair to agree, no matter what you think about the current president, he doesn't care what you're saying.
No.
He doesn't care what anybody thinks.
He doesn't care what his attorney general thinks.
Right. So for me, like, if you're a player that wins a championship, whether it's the Super Bowl, the NBA championship, and the story is the Warriors have agreed as a team to not go to the White House, I think that is a more impactful statement,
yes.
The entire team refusing to go, than Andre Iguodala would be able to make in his 45-second conversation with the president. Like, I just don't think anything substantial is getting accomplished in that situation, whereas I think a peaceful protest by an entire team to not go is probably more substantial. I'll say this, though, and I know that this probably is not in keeping with my millennial carpet-bagging liberal agenda. I'd go. If I won a championship and I got invited, I would go. Not for him.
Good for you.
But
yeah.
For the House and for the office and for the country in general. And I know, like you said, it's different. Like, I have a different relationship with that as a straight white guy in 2017 in America than a lot of other people in this country have.
Indeed.
Yeah. I can acknowledge that. There's no doubt about it. But I would.
And it doesn't make you less of an American either.
I would go.
If you have that view.
I would go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. So, DDT to you, ma'am. And DDT to you, Tom Brady.
NFL Network Tom Brady.
NFL Network Tom Brady. Let me say that. So, well, I think that'll do it for the Doggone Football Podcast. You can always follow me at JarvisD90.
You can follow me at Mr. Andy Bunker.
And don't forget to follow our Twitter page at DoggoneFBPod.
Yes. DoggoneFBPod. You did it.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll be back next week.
All right.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.